This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine.
Greetings, my angels. It feels rather apropos to talk about starting and ending some life chapters today, the transformations we experience at different times of life, what a glow-up really entails, and why I love taking a dynamic approach to life. I will explain more about what that means shortly. Jenny Gaither, confidence and transformation coach and my personal confidant, is back with us today in the studio to talk about all of those things. She's going to be coaching us through life changes today, talking about her own experiences and her personal approach too. If you haven't already heard her episodes on this show, go back to episode 4 and episode 30. I am so grateful to share her voice again with all of you. Both Jenny and I are entering some new chapters right now in different ways, and we've both gone through many different chapters of our lives before, a whole series of transformation. So this will give a little peek into what that looks like, complete with what we've learned along the way. This is an episode where you might want to make some tea, light a candle or two, maybe put on your diffuser, grab a journal, and carve out some mental, emotional, and actual space, and some time for yourself to reflect, plan, and take notes. All right, let's do it. We recorded this episode in May of this year, obviously before I moved to France, but perhaps less obviously, also before I heard an audio clip that really resonated with me and hit a special place in my heart. It's an excerpt from an interview with Stephen Fry, paraphrasing a famous Oscar Wilde quote about knowing versus not knowing what you want to become in life. I am shocked at how similar this concept is to what Jenny and I talked about without ever having heard these words prior, so I will leave it here with you so you can hear it as well, and we can set the tone for the conversation today.
Oscar Wilde said that if you know exactly what you want to be in life, a teacher or a grocer or a judge or a soldier, you will become it. That is your punishment. Actually not knowing what you want to be, reinventing yourself every morning, not being a noun, but being a verb, being moving in life, not being fixed in life, is a privilege, even though it's a difficult one sometimes. So don't feel bad about not knowing. I think it's the most wonderful thing to be open, be a permanent student, if you can, in the mind.
So today, Jenny and I are going to bring you into one of our conversations that we like to have on our walks, our hikes, our little, you know, girl time sessions. That sounds so infantilizing, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. I sit and, like, fix your, undo your jewelry knots.
Oh, my God.
As if I'm a surgeon.
To, like, bring you in on that inside joke, I have this, like, pink sapphire ring that I think I actually talked about in the gift guide last year that I really wanted. And, of course, like, I got it tangled so bad that it, like, couldn't work. And my brain, like, cannot process tangled jewelry. It's, like, worse than a Rubik's Cube for me. And Jenny sat in my house with, like, tweezers for, like, 30 minutes, just so concentrated. And she did it, and she's a wizard, and I owe her my life.
There's just literally no better feeling than getting a knot out of jewelry. So
there's no better feeling for me than watching you do it. Jenny's detangling service.
Another side hustle.
Oh, my God.
That's actually a great idea. Hit me up if you need it.
She's on TaskRabbit.
Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there with all these, like, tweezers and, like, magnifying glasses.
I don't know why my brain's like, that's like Breaking Bad, but for jewelry instead of meth.
Yeah, 100%.
Breaking jewelry. Okay, great. So we're bringing you into one of the conversations. I'm sure you can already get an assessment of the tone. But we do go deep sometimes. Jenny has some Scorpio placements, some prominent ones, and it really allows us to get into some deep psychological stuff. So we're going to, like, take you on down with us to these caverns of the mind. If you could see Jenny's face right now.
It's like when you realize something about yourself, but you don't realize it until you're 35.
Yeah.
And it's just a very rude awakening, and you're like, wait, I am super deep.
You are super deep.
And how did I not know that?
Well, you also have, like, the goofiness and the lighthearted airiness. Like, you are many things, but, like, you have this facet about you that allows you to really, like, do a deep dive no matter what the topic is.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a surface level person.
No. I'm newly in a relationship.
Yeah.
He actually brought that up. He was like, I feel like we go from like the transitions. He's like, it's not abrupt or anything. It's just like this fluid transition of like deep to goofy to laughing to like back to like deep, deep, deep. And I'm like, sorry.
Oops.
But yeah, I guess that is my personality.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really good metaphor actually for like both of our approach to life, where it's just like not one thing or one like linear timeline kind of thing. And we'll get to that a little bit more. I guess now we can just jump in. Like, I wanted to talk a little bit today about like, so a new chapter is beginning for both of us. And I think we've had this conversation in bits and pieces like over the years, like, your life doesn't have to be one thing or look one way for your entire life. Like, you don't have to do or be the same thing forever. Let's talk about it. We've both gone through a lot of twists and turns from the deep depths of the ocean all the way out to space.
And back again.
Roaming the astral plane at Padre Stadium.
So accurate. Yeah. Just the process of that journey, like what it feels like.
Yeah, and like we've gone through, okay, so you, for example, when you were younger, did you think you were going to be a dancer like forever or like that was going to be, I guess like dancing kind of has a bit of a physical expiration date, right? Like,
well, you know,
don't dance
funny
into your 50s.
Here's the kicker. Y'all, to my credit, I was in drama in high school and—
That tracks.
But I never had the time to be in a play or
to
anything.
Be a thespian.
Yeah. So dance was my life.
Yeah.
But when I was little, instead of saying like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? It wasn't like, oh, I want to be a professional dancer. I was like, no, I'm going to be an actress.
Oh.
And I was convinced.
Yeah.
Even though my life had nothing to do with theater
right.
or acting or
Hollywood
auditioning. Like, right. I don't know why I thought so strongly.
That feels,
that.
Yeah, you knew you were made for the public eye.
Yeah, I think I always knew.
You're a storyteller.
I was a storyteller.
Yeah.
I loved being expressive in front of people. But yeah, so it's funny because obviously I'm not a dancer or an actress by day.
By day, but in your personal life.
In my head. But yeah, and then I became a cycling instructor. Like,
yeah,
what?
Which is sort of like being an actress. And yeah. A dancer, actually.
That is true. It does combine, like, all the things that I genuinely
love.
Am passionate about.
Yeah, and are good at.
I'm good at,
You're innately good at those things. But I do love what you brought up, not to, like, sidebar too much, but, like, what do you want to be when you grow up is such a linear, uniform, what's the word I'm looking for? There's, like, one answer, right?
Right.
It's not, like, I want to be this at one stage of my life, and then I want to do this, and then I want to do this, and I want to be both of these things. Like, you ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't know about everyone else, but I know I had a bunch of answers at different stages. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember writing down that I wanted to be a chef after I spent some time cooking with my family. Then I remember coming down to, like, the dining room table after I had, like, my first experience with a Leon Rimes CD.
Yes.
And I was like, everyone, I have an announcement to make. Mind you, I was, like, 4 or 5. And I was like, I am going to be a country music singer. This is my path.
Move over, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like, just in the 90s, just, like, telling my family, like, I have a very serious announcement to make.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a country singer. Why? Because I loved my Leon Rimes CD. But I just changed over time, and I never remember having one thing that I wanted to be. And I feel like that's sort of an expectation, right? Did you ever feel that way? Like, you want to be one thing.
Yeah, and that you have to have that figured out pretty much by high school because you're making a decision about—
To go to college.
The most expensive education you're going to ever pay for in your life that you're going to have to pay for—
Forever.
Forever.
Unless you're really lucky.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, these massive decisions when you're underdeveloped and don't know who you are yet, and I can't imagine how kids feel these days just— In addition to trying to figure out yourself, having so much information at your fingertips and
there's so much pressure,
insight to what other people are doing that you, how do you really formulate what is your opinion, like what is it that you actually feel is best for you?
Right. And it's like you can't really make that decision when you're like 15, 16, 17, but it's legal to take on life-altering amounts of debt in order to get an education you're told is necessary for the one decision you have to make to be the one career. I'm like, how was that legal? Like, my brain was not fully developed. I was 17 years old and I told the government that I would take on literally any amount of debt to go to my dream school.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, I have no regrets around the college I went to.
Same.
I went to the University of Illinois.
To clarify, yeah.
Or the dance program that I joined. But if someone were to say, like, this is the trajectory, you go to college to mm-hmm. then do this for the rest of your life, like, I don't dance really. I dance on bikes and I dance,
yeah,
you
for
know,
fun,
in the car.
Enjoyment, yeah.
Yeah, but, or TikTok videos.
But honestly, huge
I mean,
slay.
I don't know. Knowing what I do now, I do wish that I was actually talking, I forget who I was talking to about this, but we were talking about education and just wishing that it was more affordable. But I think that you should have to pay for education up to a certain point because of this exact reason. Like, we're always evolving. Like, right now I want to go back to school to be a therapist. Mm-hmm. I want to get my MBA. There's so many things I wish, and there are things I can learn online, obviously. But yeah, it's just like this new passion and interest and path I never, ever, ever would have guessed.
Yeah.
Even 5 years ago.
Totally.
That because, I wanted.
Like you said, we're always evolving. And I feel like there is so much pressure. Like you said, starting even in middle school, you have to get like into honors classes so you can get into the honors and AP classes in high school. So then you can be on the right track to get into, let's say, a pre-med undergrad program. So then you can go be a doctor, or let's say you want to go be a lawyer, like one particular profession. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, I feel like culturally and structurally, there's never been like kind of a template or an example that says, like, you actually don't have to be one thing if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have always felt kind of scattered. I had three majors in college, not like a triple major. Like, I couldn't choose. I couldn't mm-hmm. decide. And that doesn't really set you up for one solid trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one linear career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, that's specifically talking about work, but I feel like we go through different eras of, like, who we are and what we're into and what our tastes are and how we interface with the world. Like, mm-hmm. there's, like, a constant evolution. I don't know. I'm kind of tangenting a little bit.
But I think it's relative to the conversation because I think it would just be easier. It's like, why can't I study little bits of all mm-hmm. of these different things to
yes.
create this thing that I want to do, as opposed to being like,
right.
there's this psychology path or there's this marketing path or
right.
there's – so that we're all going down the same steps, trying to get the same jobs.
Right.
And no one's innovating. No one's like, I mean, we are, but I don't know. I just think that the whole structure of it all just sets us all up to feel like we're failing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm meant to be an adult, but somehow I still haven't figured this out. And it's like, right. no, this is it.
Yeah. It's like whether or not like, so some examples of people I know, like if you're a CPA, when you did all this work to become an accountant and you get this big job, but you're like, I actually just wanted to be an actress this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've been in the corporate world and you're crushing it at your job, but you're like, actually, I want to be a personal trainer. Or you're a dancer and then you end up wanting to be in the fitness. Like, obviously that's a little bit closer, but there are these pivots that people make, and sometimes it feels like, oh my God, like that's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the concept of a doctor changing their career and deciding to be an artist, or an artist changing their career and deciding to be a doctor, which I feel like is just as hard because then you have to go back to school. And at any age, like that can be difficult, especially if you didn't do that at 17, 18,
right.
whatever
it was. Kids, you have mm-hmm. a job, you have all these obligations already. One of my best friends, Morgan, is a nurse, and she's in that exact position where she's put blood, sweat, and tears, mm-hmm. literally into becoming a nurse
yeah.
and going through COVID. I mean, what
trauma.
So many people leaving the medical industry
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
In droves.
And she's sort of in this kind of what feels like to her a crisis.
Yeah,
of,
like an impasse right now.
Like, I don't want this anymore. And you can feel shame around that.
Yeah, because you've put so much time, effort, money,
mm-hmm.
like especially if you've paid a lot for a certain education program
mm-hmm.
or your parents paid a lot, if you're fortunate enough to have that going on, or, you know, even if you got a scholarship, that's a huge investment. And then to pivot, I think maybe that also comes from some antiquated ways of looking at it, maybe from our parents, grandparents. Like, we paid for you to go to, why do I want to say lawyer school? Law school.
Lawyer school.
Lawyer school. We paid for you to go to law school. Like, how dare you not be a lawyer? Like, mm-hmm. And then anything that isn't one of like the main professional degrees previously, I don't think it's as much referred to this way anymore, is like a basket weaving degree or like a BS degree. If it's not something that like goes out and gets you like a hyper idealized job, it's kind of like looked down upon.
Yeah. I think that the automatic for all of our brains is this was a fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. It's why do we automatically put it in that bucket of failure when we decide that we want to do something different?
Which is the coolest, bravest, most awesome thing you could probably do.
Yeah. And it doesn't take away from what you were doing.
Yeah.
It's just...
You had that experience and it doesn't have to be forever. I think that's what we're both getting at and also telling to ourselves, like, mm-hmm. because we've been on this path where it's like, I don't know, am I going to be a writer forever? I was in PR for a little bit before and marketing and social media and like... Those are all adjacent, but I feel like it's still evolving and I don't know if I want to do the same thing forever. Like, clearly, I didn't have that all figured out when I was in my, like, late teens, early 20s with college. Mm-hmm. But who's to say you need to have it figured out late 20s, early 30s, like, whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. can we just be who we want to be and do what we want to do at different stages?
Yeah. And I think there's another element of, and we've talked about this before, of our generation, of this like hustle culture, that our identity is so ingrained mm-hmm. in what we do.
Yes. Oh my God. We've talked about this before on Jenny's podcast. Please go listen to that episode. I will link to it. It was a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. But we talk a lot about like how we identify. We kind of believe if you identify too hard with your career, your profession, like what you do to earn money, it can kind of lead you to a feeling of emptiness or an identity crisis. And like if anything changes around that, whether you get laid off or quit or pivot, whatever it is, like it kind of leaves you feeling unstable. Mm-hmm. And to find ways of like identifying more internally with who you are versus what you do or what you're into at any given time.
Yeah. And giving yourself permission to do things and not have to have a reason.
Yeah.
Because I think we're so calculated sometimes. It's like, well, if I learn how to play music, I need to be able to do something with that. But it's like, why?
Right. No, you don't. Yeah. And I think we're both doing a little bit more of that, like in our adult lives. Like, as many of you know, I started taking beginner ballet classes.
Yeah, girl.
Thanks.
I saw that PK. Oh my God.
I'm trying so hard to PK turn. But it has nothing to do with how I earn money. I am not going to have a side hustle around it. I'm not even going to perform. It's just doing something that brings me joy, which for some of us that are like super driven A-type, that is a foreign concept.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something for fun that isn't performance oriented. You, <What's> me? Fun? What? I just think, you know who's a really good example of this, of having like these different life chapters?
Hmm.
Our Lord Mother, Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor.
Eras. She's doing Taylor a whole Eras tour.
Yep.
Like that, maybe the Eras tour is a metaphor for our lives. Did I 100%. Just come up with like a brilliant concept?
Yeah. We all didn't know, but Taylor's actually the person upstairs.
She's the Oracle.
Really, she's really running shit.
Oracle Mother. Sorry, Taylor Kanye. Swift. Yeah. she's the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I think Eras tour is a really good representation of how you don't have to be. I know that sounds so like chuggy millennial woman right now, but like it's cool. It's like a really good example of evolution.
It's a really tangible way to look at it.
Yeah, you can be whatever you want to be and your style doesn't have to stay the same. Mm-hmm. And the music you listen to doesn't have to stay the same. Like you don't have to pigeonhole yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You don't have to pigeonhole yourself.
Yep.
In any area.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like where we're going with this.
I do too.
So we've talked about this a lot. Starting with that Scorpio eclipse when we recorded your episode, and again, more lately because of the aforementioned Scorpio placements, but that sign in particular does represent death, rebirth, transformation, rising from the ashes, Phoenix energy. And it also teaches us that like something fun and new and exciting is born, but the old version then like has to die, which is like kind of morbid. I feel like we should kind of talk about that a little bit. Like we've gone through certain chapters where the old version does die and it feels really painful, mm-hmm. but then like you come out of it and like a new thing is born. Like that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So like the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll get off the Taylor concept.
No, it's literally that. I think I died November to February, March.
This last year?
Yeah.
Oh, a recent death and rebirth.
Real death.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Interesting because I'm already an introvert, and I'm also someone that loves just has a lot, like, I make a lot of space for introspection and do a lot of work because I genuinely just think I like going deep without being aware of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed that I was being more, I was isolating myself more. I was spending a lot of time just feeling, it felt like I was going, it's like when you're sort of hitting burnout and you can feel that sort of way. Like, I think of a dog that, like, you know, like, cleans themselves. Like, they're, you can tell they're going into themselves to take care of themselves.
Yeah,
for
totally.
A second.
You're cocooning, like chrysalis kind of energy.
Yeah.
Like, bear going into a cave for hibernation.
Yeah, I just felt like I was wanting to move really slowly, was saying no to literally everything.
Yeah, totally.
But wasn't conscious that, like, this was my healing phase.
Right.
It wasn't.
It was just a natural flow into that state where you're like, I'm hibernating for a little bit. This is cocoon phase, chrysalis phase. I'm going to just wrap myself up and withdraw.
Yeah. And
I do that too.
I cried.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot. But, like, I want to say that in an empowering way.
Yeah. It's cathartic too.
Because I think that we, when we're like, oh, I'm tired, we make that mean and weighs so much more than that emotion.
Yeah.
So it's like when I'm sad, we start thinking the world's ending, right? As opposed to just being like, okay.
That's just a feeling. It's temporary.
I can feel that.
Yeah.
And, you know, even for me, it was, oh, wow, I'm still crying. It's weeks later. Still,
still doing
we're
it.
Still doing that.
Yep.
But now it's like, whoa, do I feel lighter? Whoa, has so much shifted. I mean, I met someone.
Yep.
It's just very crazy because you don't know where you're going and you just literally have to trust that what you're feeling is the way and you just have to lean in. And I was not always good at that. And I feel like I've come to the point where I've done it in smaller ways. So now I can trust that process.
Yeah, totally.
And I think a lot of people fear it. And so I think that starting small is a really great way to, like, experience that because it's so crazy to trust in literally going in blind.
Yeah, totally. And what you're saying about, like, kind of facing it instead of running away from it, I think is really important. I think leaning into those feelings, because clearly you kind of on a subconscious, like, intuitive level were grieving the end of a certain chapter for different reasons and purging to make way, make room for a new version, a new chapter. And I think if we run away from those feelings, it kind of keeps us trapped there for longer versus, like you said, leaning in. It sort of reminds me of when you're surfing and you're trying to get past the break, you have to duck dive. Like, you have to go toward the wave, go under it instead of, like,
standing in front of it.
Yeah, which is going to just knock your shit over.
Yep. Yeah. You learn that quick.
Yeah, so you have to, like, literally push through, like, spear through it in order to get to the other side. And I feel like that's a really good metaphor, in my opinion. It's a really good metaphor for, like, our emotional experience, right? Like, yes, sadness and pain and anger and frustration, like, those things can be really uncomfortable. But if you lean into it, it helps you get through it a little more quickly and healthfully, and then you can heal.
I was just writing a course on intuition, and there's something so similar here where if we try to understand logically what we're intuitively feeling, we're missing the whole message.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people. And I can relate to that because I try to logic through a lot of things, or I get frustrated when I can't logic through things through an emotional experience. Like, why can't my brain just figure this out? But what you said is so true.
Yeah. So if I, in November or December last year, was trying to logically understand why my body was feeling that way, why I was craving these things, I would have just kept hitting, like, butting up against myself, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what it means to lean in, is to not have to logically understand it and trust the feeling.
Yeah. I think self-trust is a huge thing. We're less tuned into, in general, I don't want to, like, speak for everyone, but, like, our physical sensation, our emotional sensation, like, even your example about, like, crying a lot. Like, I remember my former therapist, Dr. Newhouse, who we love, would always tell me that, like, tears are clues. So if you're crying, like, it's a clue about something. Like, why don't we tune in? Why don't we look at these things like a check engine light on the car? I can't see if it's my oil that needs to be changed or my tires that need to be rotated, but, like, let's pause for a minute. Like, this is clearly a warning signal, or, you know, just inviting you to go deeper, like you would do, right? Like, you're like, let's go deep into my emotions. Like, what am I feeling? Clearly, I need to feel these things. So we experience those things in a number of ways, whether it's tears or some kind of physical pain or tension, sensation, or fatigue.
Mm-hmm. And just like a baby.
Just like a baby.
Babies cry when they're hungry. They're tired.
They're just looking to have their needs met. And so your body and brain are like, I need my needs to be met. Even if that's changing in like a new chapter, right? Like it's like, oh, we have to let go of something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you keep hitting a lot of roadblocks because something is coming to its expiration date and it's time to change. And mm-hmm. it still feels really painful. I've gone through a lot of like ends of eras mm-hmm. that feel really painful and I struggled to let go. And always, always on the other side, there's something better and brighter and mm-hmm. lighter. But the letting go part has been really hard.
Yeah,
100%. Do you ever counsel people through that, like letting go of an old chapter?
Yeah, I think I counsel people and myself every day about that. I think letting go is one of the most powerful types of strengths that there is. Mm-hmm. There's so many different types of strengths, but that's one we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
And the making peace, the acceptance, the mourning, the grieving, the allowing. There's so many things that you have to go through. And I think with letting go, people, and I can say this too, of like, just let it go, let it go. And in the moment, oh my gosh, I was at dinner last night with my friends. We were having margaritas and tacos, because why not? But she was telling me, she was at a breath work course over the weekend, and the guy was encouraging everyone to be like a zebra. So apparently, the difference between zebras and humans is, just like zebras, when we feel like attacked or we feel stressed out or something is happening in life, our cortisol goes through mm-hmm. the roof and we're in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. But so let's say we're being chased by something, or we're having a really stressful week at work, or we're having weird complications with a friendship or a relationship. And that's that high cortisol, stress, anxiety period.
Adrenaline, epinephrine. Yeah.
Zebras, literally, after they're being chased by a lion, mm-hmm. they shake it off. Yep. They do like this whole like shake, mm-hmm. shake, shake thing. And
dogs do that too to reset their nervous system.
And they
system.
Let go. They like, and they move on.
Have you ever seen like Stella, like when we leave a certain place or like get up from the restaurant?
Yeah, they
she
shake.
Like shakes. Yeah. So I wonder if your friend who you were talking about that with read Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. It's one of my favorite books, actually.
I've
you would
never heard of
love
that.
It. Oh my God. Okay. So Dr. Kevin Gilliland, who has been on several episodes as well, recommended this book to me years ago. I have it paperback and on Audible. It is one of the most powerful, like, nerd books I've ever read. And I think you'll love it. It's very sciencey and dense, but it's like a scientist with a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So if you're into nerdy humor like that and you want to learn about the mammalian stress response and how, like, zebras get that cortisol spike because they're literally trying not to be eaten alive. Mm-hmm. And we get that because, like, of an abstract thought. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to be able to pay my mortgage? Why didn't that boy text me back, kind of thing? Like, it's the same kind of response. And then they can kind of shake it off because they're like, I'm not going to be eaten anymore. And we're like, but I still don't know about my mortgage. So
right.
That's why, like, we get these physiological issues that are stress related and zebras don't.
Yep. And so to funny. Bring that around, we, what were we talking about
before? Sorry. I
brought this up because we were talking about, oh, so like when counseling myself or
oh,
other
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Letting
about
go.
Like letting go.
Yes, shaking it off.
It's like the zebra thing, but it's also, I think, bigger than that sometimes, of giving yourself permission to let that in itself be a whole process.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think people want it to, they just think the pressure, oh, it hasn't worked. I haven't done it right. Something's wrong with me because I haven't let it go. It's
right.
like, well, have you given yourself the space and time and the focus energy to go into what that looks like for this.
Right. It's not just like you flip a switch or hit a button in your mm-hmm. brain. That's, I think, a really big thing that I personally struggle with sometimes, and I think other people as well, since I'm not that unique, is that we think like, oh, let it go is just like an off button.
Right.
Like when people tell you to just like not worry about something, they're like, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, like let me hit the don't worry button on my brain for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like making space for what a release looks and feels like.
Yeah.
And I guess that's going to be different for everyone. Like, what is your version of shaking it off?
Mm-hmm. So if you're mourning, I mean, let's say you're falling out of a friendship with someone. It's like maybe that means being really sad about it for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, and thinking of all those really happy, amazing times. And then that leads to maybe more peace.
Yeah.
And just feeling more peace with what you've had with that person. I mean, it's, again, not as structured as I'm saying, but I think if yeah. you lean into it, you're gonna and ask yourself questions.
Right. It helps you get through it. Like a couple years ago, I went through a really, really, really difficult experience where I was going through a lot of fear, a lot of pain, and a lot of just emotional turmoil. And my therapist at the time told me, give yourself a week to just be a mess. And I didn't realize how profound that would be and how much I was resisting the concept of being a mess, quote unquote, which has such a negative connotation to it. Like, oh, she's messy. Like, oh, she's being a mess. But giving myself that week to not place any kind of judgment or parameters on myself and not try to be anything or perform in a certain way in order to just process grief and pain, mm-hmm. I think was really, really powerful. It's one of the better lessons that I've learned, I think.
Yeah.
Like, let's all please benefit from my very expensive therapy history.
100p. Writing that down.
But like, yeah, the concept of letting go, shaking it off. Again, we keep coming back to Taylor Swift, but also zebras. I think is a really powerful part of like acknowledging that a chapter is closing. Mm-hmm. Because we go through a lot of chapter closures. Like if our life is a book, there are several chapters, I hope. Mm-hmm. If your life is a book with one chapter, it sounds pretty weird.
I mean, I would like to know how, because I have 500 million.
Yeah. Like you are the queen of like picking it up and starting over, reinvention.
I really am. I will have to say that I think my greatest strength is, I don't know if it's the letting go part, but what I immediately do, and I didn't realize until I started talking about it with friends and stuff, is I am immediately on looking at what's in front of me.
Yeah.
And I think I'm always looking at what's in front of me. And probably a lot of the time in the past for survival
reasons.
But it really helps the moving on, because you're focused on, okay, this is all I have. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm moving toward.
Yep.
And it's more energizing to think about, okay, what am I moving toward instead of all of these things I'm letting behind.
What do I want to stay in? Like, mm-hmm. where do I have like 1 foot behind me? Yeah, I think that's good. Like, yes, it's good to reflect on things and learn and have appreciation for things. Yeah, to your point, this is going to be really helpful in letting go, especially like if you feel like you're resisting like the flow that your life is going in. Mm-hmm. I guess sometimes it might be hard to know when it is time to let go.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I think it's hard when you're in it. Like, let's say, like a romantic relationship could be really bad for a while and you're still holding on to like, well, the beginning was so good, you know, or this period of time was so good, or this aspect of them is so good, or this aspect of us is so good, but like it's not good anymore, or the cons are outweighing the pros, whatever it is. It can be really hard, especially when you're not looking at it from an objective place. There's a lot of emotion layered in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to know when to let go. I guess that's pretty individual.
Well, there's 6 stages to behavioral change.
Ooh, hit us with those numbers.
Hey, go ahead.
Sace. Stella thinks you're playing with her.
Stella, see where you tear. But you flow back. It's not a step 1, step 2, step 3. The 6 stages, you go 1, 2, 1. Oh. 1, 2, 3, 1. What? And so basically it's like contemplation. It's like figuring out, okay, can I let this go? Like, what would that even look like? And then it's like, if I did, what does that look like? And then you go back to, can I let this go? And then you eventually get to the phase of action and finally to that kind of breakthrough moment.
The other side.
Yeah. But it's normal.
It's not linear.
Not at all.
And it's not sequential.
Nope.
Which I think is so important. One of my favorite memes, it was probably from Twitter. It's like, me, healing isn't linear. Me when healing isn't linear. Oh, what the fucking hell? Like, like if this ain't me, like,
it's so, yeah. So weird when you know things, but when you hear it, you're like,
Yeah. I think it's like stars are just like us, like professionals, they're just like us. Like, even if you are a certified coach, like you've had the training. Actually putting it into practice as a human being is the hard part. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to tell other people what to do.
100%. And if you look at the 1 million coaches out there or anybody on Instagram that's empowering people, sharing, spreading messages, we're all saying the same things. But we all need to hear it 100 million times for the rest of our lives. In 500 million different ways.
Yeah. Coaches need coaches. Therapists need therapists. Doctors need doctors. Like, we're all just human beings, no matter what our title is.
Exactly.
So I feel like this leads us with the idea of like, okay, we're closing chapters. we've got some hope for like, okay, if things are falling to shit, like it usually means we're heading towards something good. Like that chapter might be ending. Sort of like the tower card in tarot, right? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it sucks at the time. It feels like everything's terrible. Mm-hmm. But the optimism under all of it is like we're heading toward something fresh and new. That brings me to the concept that I would love to pick your brain about, the anatomy of a glow up. Mm-hmm. We all kind of talk about like, I think especially when it comes to breakups or you leave a toxic job, like you got to have a glow up afterward, right? Like that kind of, I think, inspires and motivates people. Like this is the fun part of transformation, the makeover montage, mm-hmm. even if it's not like a physical, like external makeover. So, okay, I have a few questions for you as a coach, as a professional. One, when do we know it's time for a glow up? Two, what does a glow up mean and look like? And three, what would be your ultimate glow up checklist? Sorry, I can't even take myself seriously.
I love these questions.
But yeah, like let's talk glow ups. Like what does that look like?
So, well, did you ask first?
Yeah, sorry, it went out of order.
If
how do we know if it's time?
How do we know if it's time? So I think of like life as being a glow up. I think there's two ways to look at
love.
It. It's just a progressive glow up.
A glow up Eras tour.
Yeah. It's like ideally I'm always glowing and finding ways to be better on every level. And so it's just a continuation. But yeah. It's again not linear or easy or pretty. But there's one way to look at it like that. As opposed to, like, I have to start this thing. Some people really struggle with the idea of, okay, especially, I think, after the past couple of years of still feeling so defeated when getting their routines back and just not feeling like they're meeting the standards that they used to.
So felt.
And so when you say, I have to do this thing and start from zero, that usually instills a lot of overwhelm and anxiety and fear that causes more procrastination and or failure because you end up quitting if it's not perfect.
Right.
So if you think of it as it's already been happening, it's already happening. For those of you that feel overwhelmed, that's going to help you be like, oh, it's already happening. I'm already doing this. Yeah. It's not going to feel as scary.
Just jump into that. What's the word I'm looking for? The flow, the current. Jump into the current.
Yeah, ride that wave, babe. Yeah.
Surf instructor Jenny, cowabunga, hang 10.
Blue Crush, best movie of all time.
The Blue Crush soundtrack literally slaps so hard.
So hard.
It doth slap
it. I bring it out every summer.
Yes, it's so good.
Just dust that baby off.
I should like sprinkle like a 15-second Blue Crush soundtrack thing into here. Okay, so like glow up's always happening. If someone's like ready, they're like, I want to just transform myself. You're the queen of transformation. What would you do?
So, okay. So many people think of a glow up as a physical thing.
Like revenge body.
Right. But I am, let's just preface this that we've already said it, like I'm already deep. So you're going to know that mine is less focused on the physical, but I'm telling you what you do on the internal, which is what I'm about to suggest, is going to drastically improve the external stuff that you want better than just going directly to that.
Yep.
So
don't bypass the internal.
Mm-mm.
And she's not talking about the internal shower, which is a weird chia drink. I don't know why I brought that up. I'm sorry.
It's a chia drink?
Yeah. There's like this thing on TikTok like a year or so ago, and it was like internal shower. And I don't know why that's like in my brain right now.
That is so random. No.
It's just like a lot of fiber. Like you're going to poop.
I need that. Yeah. Oh my God. I want one. Give it to me.
Okay. Maybe we are talking about internal shower. But yeah, doing
it. Sponsor me.
Sponsor me, internal shower.
So I broke it down into, into five categories. Which feels like a large number, but this is what my suggestion is for a glow up. Emotional health, mental health,
love,
physical health, social health, metaphysical health.
Whoa.
So
I love a list, so this is great.
So there's five, right? Instead of writing you could write a laundry list and do a brain dump in your journal and say, okay, in my emotional health, what is it that I want to change, or what is it that I want to feel, or what is it that I want to be able to do better? So for emotional health, I think of coping strategies with stress, with worry, with confidence, things like that. It's how you process emotion.
Yeah.
So how's that going for you right now? Are you reacting out your emotions at people?
Right.
Are you not actually processing them at all. And so you are literally about to combust.
Right. There's two ends of that spectrum.
Yeah. And so it's kind of being like pie in the sky. What is the ideal that I would like to get to?
Okay. In terms of like emotional regulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I think about emotional health. And then it's like, okay, what's one thing that's like I would want to get better at? And it mm-hmm. could be, you know, I want to approach conflict or conversation with my boyfriend, conversation with someone at work from a more emotionless place and to feel like I've already processed that on my own.
Right. So I'm not bringing too much emotion into a conversation that's going to interfere with getting to what we both need in this relationship or dynamic.
And I can feel like I leave that conversation empowered as opposed to shame.
Yeah.
So that's an example of what love you that. Could do for okay. a blow up for your emotional health.
I would love to hear your difference between emotional and mental health. I think that's something people confuse a lot.
Yeah. 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 So exactly. So emotional health, I would say, is all about processing the feelings that you're having. And there's a difference between reacting your feelings, mm-hmm. avoiding mm-hmm. your feelings, and
integrating.
Yeah. Allowing.
Yeah.
So allowing just means, and I was just talking about this with my boyfriend, because he was like, every time a girl has ever approached me about a tough conversation, I'm assuming she's going to break up with me. And I was like,
whoa.
That's fascinating. You're going to get a lot of sit-downs with me.
Yeah. Oops.
And it's not because I want to break up with you. It's because yeah. I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is how I do it.
This yeah. is what I call big friendship. With all my friendships mm-hmm. that all these people that are like my best, closest friends, it's we have conversations that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we talk about things that bother us as opposed to not addressing it
yeah.
because
and then storing it as resentment.
I love you that much.
Yeah.
And I want this to both be healthy on both sides.
Totally.
And so it's learning how to be safe and comfortable with your emotions on your own, process them, meaning feel them,
mm-hmm.
be mad, be angry, be sad, be all these things. And then decide, not from your emotions, but from your logic, how do you want to move forward?
Right.
Okay. And what you want to do.
Okay.
And so that's the like, allowing. It's mm-hmm. like I allowed it to go into space. I allowed it to literally like sweat out of my body in a cycling class or
yeah.
whatever it was. And now I can just have a conversation knowing that I'm not reacting and now right. going to say something I regret or yep. not say something because I'm scared or, you know.
I love what you brought up about the intention of it, though. Like, if you're sitting down with someone and you're talking about something uncomfortable, it's because you have the intention of healing whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good distinguishment from someone just bringing up something that they're mad about because they're mad about it with no, I guess, end goal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could easily go to a friend and be like, you're being a shitty person. And if you don't have that goal in mind of, like, I want to come to a place where, like, we heal this together or, like, we improve our communication or I need my needs met in this way, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
then it can just be, like, making another person feel bad.
Yep.
And then the friendship's over. So I think intention behind it, like you brought up, is really, really important.
Having a why. You have to have a mm-hmm. why. And that is part of, I think, any type of healthy, effective communication.
Yeah. And that'll bring us eventually to the social glow up.
100p!
Yeah.
So mental health, mental glow up is how you think about yourself,
mm.
how you think about the world, your beliefs, your perspective, your thoughts.
This is like a driver behind the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. The narrative and the engine behind what's generating these sensations, these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I love that.
Great exercise. Draw a line down the middle of your piece of paper.
Ooh.
One side, write the thoughts. The other side, put the feelings.
Oh, I love that. Okay, let's give like maybe two or three examples.
Okay. So.
A thought.
I have so much to do today.
Yeah, love it. Feel that.
Feelings on the other side. Stress, overwhelm. Anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of confidence. Like.
Yeah. Not feeling safe maybe, like emotionally safe because you are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a feeling or I'm
yep.
logicking through that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like insecure.
Yeah. Lacking focus.
Cool. Okay, so another thought could be, I didn't eat enough vegetables yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Feeling shame.
Shame, regret, yeah. guilt.
maybe motivation. Like, it doesn't all have to be bad, right? Like, motivation.
Disappointment.
Yeah. I'm motivated to eat better today. Like, yeah. I'm feeling inspired, but it's sort of driven by that disappointment.
So I think the great point in this is that, you know, these thoughts, they can elicit and they can create all these different emotions. So it's like, what do you actually want to feel? So it's like getting it all out and be like, okay.
Right.
These are the emotions I'm getting all the time.
So
what's the reoccurring pattern?
What's the thought pattern? What are the things that are coming up? I think that's a really good, if you are doing a mental health glow up, getting in touch with that internal narrative. If you can do this like really consistently, then you can start to see what are those patterns.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Is there a theme with those thoughts? Mm-hmm. And are they always generating consistent emotions? Are those emotions negative? Are they ambivalent? That's a really interesting exercise.
Yeah. I have clients come to me all the time and they're like, I'm so critical of myself. I'm so mean to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what does that look like? What are what is that exact voice saying?
Yeah.
And if you
write it like a script.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like if we were to write it down, we would get the same sort of story every time of what that story is that we're telling ourselves and the same emotions that we're always getting.
Right.
And then the same situation that's happening in. Maybe it's always happening at work.
Yeah.
It's always happening when you're alone by yourself.
And then you can start to find solutions.
Yep.
You could also see how those emotions are triggering certain behaviors. I'm just thinking right now, the show is particularly triggering if you have any issues with eating disorder or food relationship, but the show Physical on Apple TV Plus, did you ever see it?
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think a really good example, like a sad and painful example, but a good example of that internal monologue, what the protagonist, who is also kind of an antagonist, is saying to herself all day long. And then you can kind of glean the emotions and then see how those emotions are driving bad behaviors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating because I hate to bring up my boyfriend again, but here we are. It's all new, so it's very top of mind. But his inner critic is so loud. And it's fair because he's spent his whole life studying engineering and building things, and I've spent my whole life studying emotions and mental health, so it makes sense.
For sure.
But yeah, like his inner, because he says things out loud, I'm like, whoa, dude,
that's
why are
so
you
mean?
So mean to yourself? Yeah. And mine is like, you go, girl, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I call myself Baby J.
Yeah.
I'm like, Baby J, you're fine.
Baby J's doing the thing.
You're good. And it's just, it's fascinating because it's, you know, we hear it all the time. We know it. But if it's what I'm saying of like, you go, girl, or yeah, Baby J, if you're like, that is so far away from me, you're going to be so turned off by this conversation.
Yeah.
I fully understand and see you. So that isn't the only way, end all be all. But I think the glow up of mental health and your mental mindset, beliefs, and perspective is, okay, what is the problem? Mm-hmm. Writing down, you know, themes of those thoughts, when they're happening, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And then, again, doing sort of the opposite pie in the sky of, how do I want to feel at work? Do I want to feel like, do I want to be really confident? And do I want to feel like I am not an imposter and I belong here and all of these things? And it's looking at, you know, the sort of the where you are now and where you want to be, and allowing yourself to not just jump to that full end perspective.
You got to like take the steps toward it.
Yeah. It's first, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's allowing to let go of that other thought. So many people are like,
of the old narrative.
I want to believe that I'm the opposite of this. And I'm like, well, you have to first actually believe that what you think now isn't fact.
Yeah. You have to release the old narrative.
Yeah, you have to be like, is it possible for me to not believe this?
Yeah.
That's the first step.
And then hold space for that. Like, make some time, like you were saying earlier, to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And then start to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
So that's its own transformation, the mental health glow up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so category 3.
Physical health.
Okay. That, I feel like, is people can, like, see it and feel it and touch it. Like, that feels more tactile and real to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like kind of straightforward. Like, would you say that's like an inventory assessment of like where you're at with your nutrition, your movement, your doctor's checkups, any symptoms?
And again, you know, with each of these categories, you could have 100 item lists. So it's, I think, picking one for each doing your glow up. And then if you're like feeling fantastic and you want to keep going. But yeah, physical health can be sleep, nutrition, hydration, your actual physical space.
Oh, yeah. Like your home. I love that. Because sometimes I think like maybe my house needs a glow up.
Yep.
To like re-energize myself. I need to like feng shui this a little bit, literally.
100%.
And bring in some fresh energy and like get the staleness out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you wear?
Oh, I love that too. Love a clueless
Let's
makeover
talk about,
montage.
Like, what you're wearing. Yeah. I mean, if you're feeling like garbage, if you're wearing, and there's no diss against sweatpants because I love them too.
Wearing
but if you're
right
wearing
now.
Clothes that make you feel sleepy and make you.
Yep.
Want to curl up
so
and go
true.
To bed, you're going to feel sleepy.
Yep. I have like a real A-B comparison in my personal life when there was a segment pre-COVID where I started figuring out my personal style again and I felt so vibrant and good. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, it sounds silly if you haven't experienced it before, but figuring out your sense of style actually does a lot for your confidence and your energy levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Physical health could be like, you know, your teeth.
Yeah.
Your
Yeah, like
dental
make your appointments. That feels so good. Like scheduling like a dentist appointment, an annual physical,
yeah.
like your OBGYN checkup.
100%.
I'm getting my micronutrient levels tested with an integrative medicine doctor. I'm like, let's cover every single base. But you know me, it's because I'm like, I
yeah.
have a 75-point checklist.
Same.
Yeah, we
it's
get
like,
it.
Like get your haircut.
Yeah.
Work on that hair follicle.
Oh my God. I love
energy.
Fresh haircut, getting your hair done, doing like a brow lift or like your lashes done, get a facial, get a massage.
Yep.
Those are like feel-good things that like seem like indulgences and can actually be a fundamental part of your health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love. Okay, so physical I feel like is easier for people to grasp, but if you're listening with a journal right now, write your physical to-do list.
Yeah.
For your glow-up. Okay.
Social.
Next category, social.
Big one.
Which starts a lot with steps one and two.
100%. And people, so statistically, the most important thing to your brain, to your mental health is your social health.
Mm-hmm.
So social health, meaning your community, your, not only your community, but what you are spending your time doing, where you're putting your energy and, you know, how that's impacting all the other different types of health that you have.
Yeah. Taking inventory of your relationships. Is there someone you spend a lot of time with who doesn't make you feel very good or who you're struggling with? Maybe their energy is not really aligning with your energy and you feel really drained or really stressed. Or maybe there are certain people who you haven't spent enough time with whose energy really uplifts you and makes you feel supported. That might just be a good thing to like spend some journaling time or just some mental inventory time and see what's going on. Maybe you just haven't spent enough time with people in general, or you've spent too much time with people and you need some Jenny cocoon time.
Come on in.
Come
it's
on.
Cozy.
The water's
hey.
Fine.
It's cozy in here.
Okay, yeah. So social is good.
Commitments.
Yeah.
Community. If you have, you know, if you're on your worst day, do you have those people that are going to support you and lift you up? And then also, more importantly, too, on your best day, are you going to have people that want to celebrate you?
Oh, I love that.
And not
that.
Be jealous
yeah.
and not try to like pull away from your time.
Yeah. Steal your sunshine.
Yeah. A lot of people do that. And I don't think it's malicious, but it's, I think it's really hard for people to celebrate.
Yeah.
The
We're
win.
So used to commiserating and like, yeah, everything sucks.
Yeah. Like, it's if, like they'll show up for that. But
yeah.
will they show up for like your best day when you're, and not just your best day, but it's like your best years.
Yeah.
And not make it into something that, you know, they have if they're not going through something.
Right. I feel like
or
we're pretty
they
lucky.
Are going through something. I can't talk.
It's okay.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I feel like we both have been pretty lucky with those things.
Yeah. I feel so grateful that I feel like I have those people that want me to win.
Yeah. You're winning, girl.
You're winning, girl.
Okay. So we've made it through 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Yeah, last one is spiritual, metaphysical.
Yeah.
And this is going to be everyone's sort of...
Choose your adventure.
Yeah, choose your adventure.
Love.
And if you've never, you know, this is a bucket where you're like, this feels, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. What an opportunity, a fresh beginning.
Yeah. What a great way to do a glow up. It could just be a whole Dora the Explorer adventure.
Of the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Dora in the spiritual realm.
Yeah. Go wild.
Dora's out of body experience. Dora on mushrooms. Sorry. Dora's magic mushroom adventure.
I want to watch that. That would be fun.
I hope someone listening who's really creative and good at drawing, like, makes that for us.
Yes. I would love that art in my house.
Yeah. And she's like got Dora. The map and like map's talking, but it's like because she's on magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, am I going to go to jail for this?
Nah, you good.
But yeah,
it's
I think
out of help.
Spiritual can kind of spook people who are not spiritual in general, but it is like whatever that means to you. And Shannon's brought this up in episodes before. Sometimes if you're not, if you're really averse to like any form of spirituality, it could just mean like being in nature.
Yeah.
Like what makes you feel calm on that physical, mental, emotional level, and there's that like little bit of extra something that you can't really explain. Like I feel like that's what it is. Like go swimming in the ocean, or you know, spend time in the quiet forest, like whatever that means for you. Even if it's just like connecting to Mother Earth. I don't know how to talk to people who have no sense of spirituality.
Yeah, it also can be energy.
Yeah,
so energy, if you're wondering what energy is in comparison, let's say, to emotions. If I walked into a room and I was in a real bad mood, you would feel it, right? It's something that, like,
yeah,
isn't coming necessarily from you sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like when the sun comes out, mm-hmm, and you just—
Or it doesn't.
Or it never comes.
Or it never comes in the month of May. Yeah, but you feel the energy shift.
You feel it.
And I feel like, yeah, tuning into that is probably pretty good. In terms of, like, what a glow-up would look like for someone who maybe is not spiritual— but, like, is understanding, like, the vibe shift we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Do you have any glow-up advice?
Yeah, I think glow-up advice, sorry, for the metaphysical one. For metaphysical, I like to feel small.
Mm.
And I think that's why I love nature.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, the world doesn't revolve around me.
Right. That, like, a context of, like, the world at large.
Yeah.
That's how, like, I think if you're not spiritual at all and you want something that's separate from the past four categories, like, yeah, getting the context of, like, I am a speck of dust in this, mm-hmm, mass universe.
Yeah, something that takes you out of your normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool to, like, go to an observatory.
Yep.
Or, like you're saying, being in nature in any way, or, like, buying a telescope or just researching something like that, or, mm-hmm, going to the ocean, doing, like, a deep sea exploration. Like, mm-hmm, all that stuff is so wild.
If you've ever done, like, hiking or some sort of trek, mm-hmm, it's such a humbling experience.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wow, I am just, the nature is really the one in charge here.
Majestic. I feel like travel is a really good component of this too.
Yeah.
Like traveling to a new place, exploring.
Getting out of your bubble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love a travel component of any glow up. I think that's the best.
Mm-hmm. This means we all need vacation.
I know. I think it's time. It's time for us to take a trip.
I have an idea where.
I have an idea where too. Jenny, you're the literal best person in the world, and I love you.
I love you.
What you just gave everyone is literally priceless. You are the queen of glow ups. You are a glow up shaman.
Well, now I'm really like, what do I want to do?
I know. Okay, so like our journal prompt for everyone is everything that we just listed out, but also like, okay, what is your glow up leading you to?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this would be a really good exercise. Like, okay, if you could wave a magic wand right now and your life was exactly how you wanted it to be,
mm-hmm,
describe how you're feeling, what you're wearing, who you're surrounded with, what you're up to,
yeah,
what your day-to-day looks like, what your month might look like. Get really, really creative and specific, and no, what is the phrase? No holds barred. Like, don't hold back.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is getting in your way. This is magic wand, genie energy. And that'll give you maybe some framework of, like, what the glow up is going to look like. Like, what is the glow up building toward?
Yeah. And I think if you're having a hard time with words, I use Pinterest.
Ooh, that's
great. Don't sponsor me, but I think this is the second time I've brought Pinterest up on this podcast.
I love Pinterest, too. I use it all the time.
I literally have 500 million Pinterest boards. But I love it because I'm a visual person.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Sometimes I don't know how to articulate in words what I want, but if I see it,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, that's it. And I've done this exercise so many times of what Dom is suggesting, and I think it always comes back to romanticizing life more.
Yep.
And that's really what a glow up is. It's just making yourself feel beautiful, making life feel beautiful, and indulging in the things that we take for granted or are maybe not just paying attention to.
That's one of my favorite things you've ever said.
Oh.
I'm using that in the advertisement for this episode.
Hey, it's me, Jenny G, with some romanticism advice.
Thank you for gracing us with your immaculate energy today.
I'm making a really goofy face.
She's doing our favorite lip curl face. Jenny, you're the best. If people want to connect with you more, where can they find you right now?
You can find me on the Instagrams.
No, on the interwebs.
on the Instagrams at at Jenny Gaither. What's my name? Jenny Gaither. Or jennygaither.com. I'm redoing my website right now, but
I'm going to convince you to come to TikTok, but that's another conversation for another podcast.
I have a page.
You have a lot of DMs from me.
My worst thing is opening up my messages because I forget.
It's too many.
My eyes don't go there because I'm so distracted by everything else that I forget that I have messages.
Yeah.
So don't message me on TikTok because it's not that I don't love any of you. But I won't respond probably.
That's why I text you sometimes. I'll send you a TikTok via text. Anyway, wow, we got off topic. But thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I love you with all my heart. And this is the best podcast of all time. Don't you agree? Yes.
I love you.
Love you.
All right, before we sign off, we're going to do a This Is Mine segment. I've been forgetting sporadically. So here we are. I finally remembered. Some things I am loving right now and can recommend, my favorites. Let's start with Comfort Zone's new Hydra Memory Collection. This is not an ad, again, and I know I've talked about Comfort Zone before. They are truly my favorite skincare, and I'm obsessed. Some of you know that Hydra Memory Cream from Comfort Zone has been my all-time favorite moisturizer. This past spring, I got to go to their headquarters in Parma, Italy. I went to their lab, and I got to see how they reformulated a new and improved iteration of Hydra Memory Cream. I have been using it every single day since. It is so light, but still has this heft. I don't know how to explain it other than saying, like, it's light and heavy at the same time. It doesn't weigh you down, but it's got this, like, really impactful, insanely hydrating, deeply quenching, like, just gets into your cells. This new formulation has more sustainable packaging with cartridges to refill the glass container. Love that. It's plastic neutral, carbon neutral. So I am all around obsessed. I will leave a link for you in the episode description to check it out. You also will want to check out their new water serum. That's my second favorite from the collection. Honestly, pretty neck and neck, but I ride hard for that memory cream. The whole thing is incredible. I'll leave some links. You know what to do. Next up would be Parfum de Marly Delina Exclusive. You have definitely heard us talk about it in the perfume episodes with Caroline, but I have been loving this creamy, sweet iteration of Delina. This is definitely one of my all-time favorite perfume houses in general, and I really need to get back to their flagship in Paris. Lastly, some entertainment, which is kind of a nice little sharp turn from beauty and fragrance, my usuals. The Righteous Gemstones are back for season 3. At time of recording, I am rewatching seasons 1 and 2 to prepare, but by the time you're listening to this, season 3 will be out. If you haven't yet got on board, this is the funniest show on TV. I stand by that statement. I cannot emphasize this enough. Danny McBride is a genius. I love him. So go make yourself laugh, take in some levity with this unhinged HBO programming. I hope you have some inspiration for your own new life chapter and some encouragement if you're going through your own quote-unquote death and rebirth scenario. We are with you, we are going through it with you, and we are cheering for you too. I'm sending you big hugs and bisous. That's French for kisses. A bientôt. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in
Putty,
Pacific Beach, with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download a transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.